The Lord teaches us a principle in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 6, also Galatians 5 and verse 9, two scriptures we want to read very briefly here at the outset, but the principle is this, as it's placed in the form of a question in 1 Corinthians 5 verse 6, know you not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Well, if there's anyone that doesn't recognize that that is what we refer to as a rhetorical question, that is, the answer is already obvious from the question itself, that yes, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Galatians 5:9 states it, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. So the question that's in 1 Corinthians 5:6 is stated, made as a statement in Galatians 5:9. But there's that principle, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Now, with both of those scriptures that we just read, with that principle there, there is a context to it, and eventually in our lesson this morning, we want to get back to those passages and see the context there. But the Lord makes application of that principle in a number of different ways in His Word, and we need to be aware of all of that and need to understand that. When He says that a little leaven leavens the whole lump, now, one of the major applications of that is in terms of teachings, which the word for that we read in the scriptures very often is doctrine. Now, we might hear that word doctrine and think of that being a word that is some kind of very special kind of teaching. Well, it isn't from the standpoint that the context is in the scriptures is concerning religious teachings, but the word doctrine means exactly that, teachings. So doctrine or teaching is the same thing. It's the exact same word. But we see the Lord's use of that principle in the context of what one teaches or hears and how those teachings, when they become a part of us, what we listen to and what we believe, that is going to leaven the whole lump. Matthew chapter 16, verses 5 through 12, Matthew 16, 5 through 12, it says there, when his disciples were come to the other side, that is the other side of the Sea of Galilee, it says, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up, neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I spoke not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. So here Jesus is using that principle of leaven, but he's applying it there to teachings. Now, the teachings of men, that is, what is not God's word, anything that is not God's word. If it's man's wisdom, his words, then that is a threat. And that's the leaven that he was warning them of. Were the religious leaders that they had, the Pharisees and Sadducees in Christ's time, were they teaching the word of God in truth? They were not. They were teaching, the Pharisees were teaching for doctrines, the commandments of men. We could easily embark on a separate study of the Pharisees and their doctrine, easily fill the rest of our time for this morning. That would be a worthwhile study for sure. The Lord has a lot to warn us about with them, but they taught for doctrines the commandments of men. The Sadducees, they erred not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. So Jesus made statements about both of them. Clearly, they were not teaching God's word to the people. So their leaders had this leaven of their teachings that wasn't the word of God. Now, was that a threat to their souls? And it most certainly was. So he was warning them, don't follow these leaders. Don't listen to their teachings, because they were not teaching the word of God. Now, what will happen with if we do listen to the wisdom of men? If we listen to what this world has to say, and what is the wisdom of men? I mean, that's what the world has to say. Does the world have anything to say? Well, that's all the world is doing, it seems, is saying, and, well, of course, doing as well, and wickedly. But how much is out there that we are bombarded with, especially in our modern day and time? How many avenues does the devil have to sell us his lies through the world by man's wisdom? I mean, we have all this technology, and we live in what's called the information age. We might as well call it the leaven age from that standpoint. I mean, it's just, we've got so much coming at us from this world teaching us how to think. What is the right way to think? What is the right way to speak by what the world says? How much of that is what God says? Well, it's none of it. I mean, it's the opposite of it. So what man has to say, if we're listening to that, if we incorporate those teachings of men, does it have to be something that is plainly advertised as religious teaching? No. But if we're listening to any religious teachings that's not what the Word of God, well, that's leaven that will leaven us and destroy us. But if we're listening to this world in any way, it's going to be the opposite of what God says. We must not listen to that. And so Jesus warns us of the leaven that men would leaven us with their teachings. Now we can see an example of this in the book of Galatians. Just to show that this happened to churches in an entire region where the Apostle Paul had spread the gospel. In the region of Galatia, in Galatians chapter 1, 6 through 9, he starts off in verse 6 saying, I marvel. Now here was something that Paul was marveling. We don't use that word too much these days. If something makes us marvel, what word do we tend to use nowadays? Astonished, amazed, a word like that. But he says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Was he marveling that, and these were Christians, this was a letter written to the churches of Galatia, was he marveling that these Christians were no longer listening to the gospel of Christ, the word of God, but now they were listening to another gospel? Well, that is the teachings of men. False doctrine. Was he marveling that they were no longer listening to God's truth, the word of God, but they were now listening to what man had to say? Well, that was only part of it. What's the other part there? It wasn't just that they were no longer listening to the gospel of Christ, but they were listening to the wisdom of men. He says, I marvel that you're so soon removed. How quickly it happened. Not just that they did it, but it happened so fast. And it's not just one individual Christian here, and it's not even one congregation. This is the churches of Galatia. How many congregations in a region very quickly listened to a false doctrine so that it was carrying them all away with it? The lump was being leavened. In this case, the lump was not just a congregation, but the lump of Galatia. It was being leavened with this false doctrine. And it had happened quickly. So Paul was marveling at that. Now, here's the other point that we need to recognize there. To be removed from the gospel of Christ is the same as to be removed from Christ. Can we distinguish and say, well, I'm going to follow Christ, but I'm not going to pay close attention to doctrinal matters? And there are a lot of people that will say that, and ways in which they will try to justify that approach. Can we follow Christ but not be concerned about teachings, namely his teachings? There's no way to do that. You can't follow the one who's called the Word without following his Word. which is his father's word. We studied about that very recently too, didn't we? But when they were no longer listening to the word of God, that removed them from Christ. He said, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. As we read further, which is not another. I mean, there isn't another actual gospel. There's only what is sold to be that, but it is false. There's only one true gospel. And he says, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you that you have received, let him be accursed. So anyone that would teach anything different than what Christ teaches in his word, by God, he's going to be cursed. But should we listen to that? Not at all. That's the leaven. That's part of this leaven that he warns us against. These teachings of men, false doctrine, this false gospel. Now, what was it specifically? What was the false gospel that was being spread through Galatia at this time? And not only Galatia, but other places also we can read elsewhere in the New Testament. But here in Galatia, chapter 2, 3 through 5, the Apostle Paul, by God's inspiration, said, but neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. So here was the false doctrine. It was saying that these Gentile Christians had to also follow the Old Testament, the law of Moses, in addition to listening to or following the gospel of Christ. So they were adding the law of Moses to the gospel of Christ and stating that that had to be kept. And this circumcision was an example of that, that was being compelled upon as a religious practice, these Gentiles who were converted to Christ. Titus was a Greek. He was a Gentile. Did Paul allow him to be compelled to be circumcised? No, he did not. Not for an hour did he listen to that or give place by subjection to that. That was error. And so he said that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But they were being leavened by that leaven. So in chapter 3, 1 through 4, he said, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. And then in the beginning of chapter 5, he plainly teaches what was the problem with that doctrine. In verse 1, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. So here was the warning, going back to and subjecting oneself to the law of Moses that brought one under the curse that Christ had redeemed them from. And so to follow that, you can't just pick circumcision. You're a debtor to do the whole thing if you take any part of it. And then that law would make them a curse when they didn't follow all of it. And that would cut them off from Christ. And so they would then be fallen from grace. Christ would profit them nothing. That would cost their souls. So this was not something like, well, really, who cares? I mean, they can follow that. They can be circumcised. They can do these other parts of the Old Testament law. No big deal. It was a big deal. It wasn't the gospel of Christ. It was something different than what Christ taught. He did not teach that the law of Moses was also to be kept by his followers. And so this was something that would cut them off from Christ. And so he said then, after that, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. So there we have that verse again where we started. But the context is clear there that he's applying that to doctrine, to teachings, and specifically anything that's different from the gospel of Christ. Anything that's different than what is taught in the New Testament. That is not to be listened to nor followed by us. But there's a threat of that leaven. If that gets started in a congregation, that can spread and infect the whole church. And not just that, but churches throughout a whole region and beyond. And where does it stop? I mean, it's just going to keep spreading and leavening the lump as we look at the lump in the largest sense. How many of the Lord's people will the devil be content to destroy? He wants all of us. And so he will try to leaven the entire lump. And so that warning needs to be heeded. And then in 1 Timothy chapter 6, 3 through 5, we see it plainly stated. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Now there's the right leaven, that is the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. But anything other than that, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to that. So if anybody is teaching anything other than the very words of Christ himself, what does he say to do? Well, here's why that's a threat as leaven. He says he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. So should we listen to it, or do we need to get away from it, run from that, and get as far away from it as we can? We should not listen to it, not for a moment, just like the Apostle Paul wouldn't do. In Ephesians 4, verse 14, he says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. How much threat is there? How much leaven is out there that threatens to leaven our lump if we take heed to it at all? There's much there. And the Lord warns us not to listen to it, not to be tossed by it. We need to withdraw from it, run from it. But we also can see that this principle, and we saw a bit of that with the wording there in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 3, those wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the doctrine of which is according to godliness, is that also leaven? Well, that's the right kind of leaven. And so that principle does apply in a good way. Verses 15 and 16 here in Ephesians 4. He says, but, so here's the opposite of being leavened by that evil leaven, false doctrine. He says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, can we leaven the whole lump with the doctrine of Christ? And if all of us are doing that, can we all grow up in him and edify one another in love, build each other up in the faith and in the love of God? Till, if we were to go back to verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Can we be leavened like that, with that good leaven of the gospel of Christ? Yes, that's what needs to happen. Hebrews 3, 12 and 13, he says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Can we protect each other from being hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, leavening each other with that daily exhortation with the Word of God to build each other up and protect us spiritually from falling away from Him and departing from the living God? That's what we need to do. Hebrews 10, why are we here right now? Verses 23 through 25. He says, Hebrews 10, 23 to 25, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, For he is faithful that promised, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That's what we need to do. We need to come together like this, edify each other, build each other up with those wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the doctrine which is according to godliness. With the word of God, we need to do all things unto edifying and protect and help one another. We need to leaven the whole lump with that, and that will protect us against that evil leaven as we flee from the voice of strangers. Well, leaven is not only presented as direct teachings. Leaven also can be by behavior. So people, they may not in word say, do this, and it's something that's against the word of God, but they may be behaving in some way that's different than what the Lord teaches us that we should do. And if it can behavior influence, well, obviously teachings can influence and behavior certainly can influence. In Luke 12, 1-3, Jesus spoke again about the leaven of the Pharisees. Well, as he warned them of their teachings, he also warned them of their behavior, which he describes here, talking about their hypocrisy. In Luke 12, verse 1, he says, in the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trade one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Beware you of their leaven, of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. So their teachings for doctrines, the commandments of men, that was a leaven that he warned them to beware of. But he also warned them to beware of their leaven, their hypocrisy. Well, if we're surrounded by hypocrites, those that might say one thing and do another, can that affect us in an evil way? Yes. If we're surrounded by hypocrisy, what better way to learn to be a hypocrite? So he warned them about that. Don't follow their ways. If we had more time, we could read all of Matthew chapter 23. And he said, do you not after their works? Did he only warn them about their direct teachings, or did he warn them, don't do what they do? He warned them about what they were doing. Their behavior was, they were full of hypocrisy. And he pointed it out, described it in great detail. But there he referred to that as their leaven. That can also leaven the whole lump. What happened in Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 5? If we can go there to look at verses 1-8. And here's where we're going to find that other reference that we began our study with this morning. When he said, do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? It's in the context here of behavior, immoral behavior. They had fornication in the church, and it was a threat to leaven the whole lump. He starts in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 5. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication is not so much as named among the Gentiles that one should have his father's wife. And you're puffed up and have not rather mourned that he had done this deed, that he that had done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you're gathered together in my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Well, that's when he asked that question. So he told them then to purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that you may be a new lump as you're unleavened. So he was warning them there not to continue. They weren't just tolerating, they were boasting in that wickedness that was in their presence. But if that sin were allowed to remain in their midst, which we had time to go back to the book of Joshua and read chapter 7, when Achan took of the accursed things of Jericho, and they had that sin in the camp, it defiled the camp of Israel by God's description there. They had to remove that from the camp. They had to get the sin out of their camp to not be defiled by it. But what happens if we have sin in our midst and we don't do anything about it? We just go on. Act like it's nothing, that there's nothing wrong with it. Or even in this case where they were boasting about it. He says a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Can wickedness, can that influence us? We know that it can. And how strong is the influence of wickedness in this world? And think about our young people. And it's not just the young, it's all of us. It's a threat. But then if we have that in among us, in the church itself, the whole lump will get leavened by that. So we have to keep that out. So we have to keep out false teachings. We have to keep out wickedness from being practiced in our midst. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 and 15. There are many other applications of that principle with evil behaviors. But here in Hebrews 12, 14 and 15, he says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Well, we could see that with fornication. What about bitterness? What if there's a root of bitterness in our midst? If there's one bitter soul that has bearing a grudge and not forgiving another, is that just going to sour that one person? Or is that a threat to defile many and leaven the whole lump? Well, that'll leaven the whole lump. That's why he was giving the warning there about that. Galatians chapter 5, 13 through 15. Galatians 5, 13 through 15. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Well, we need to love each other and serve one another. There's the good leaven. And as we want to take note of also, if we are surrounded by that kind of goodness of loving one another and serving each other, can we be influenced by that for good? Yes. So that works in a positive way as well. But if there is this biting and devouring, if there's that wrath and strife and envy and any of these things that are not of the love of Christ, if that's in our midst, is that a threat that we could all be consumed, leavened with that, and destroyed by it? So he warns us about that. Mark 9:50, he says, salt is good, but the salt of lost is saltness. Wherewith will you season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another. Now he's using salt there as an analogy, but it's in the exact same, by the same principle that what he's teaching about leaven works. So we need to have salt in ourselves in that way, and we need to have good leaven in us and purge out what is not good. In 1 Corinthians 16, let's look at it on the positive side here, verses 15 and 16, with the household of Stephanas. 1 Corinthians 16, 15 and 16. He says, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that you submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. Now, if we have someone, and here was a family that had addicted themselves to serving the brethren. And so he's pointing them out to the others in the congregation to submit themselves unto such. Can we be influenced by that? That's good influence. What if we were all addicted to serving one another? I mean, can we leaven the whole lump with that kind of leaven? That's what he's desiring to do. Another example in 2 Corinthians 9, 1 and 2. He said, for as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and that your zeal hath provoked very many. These brethren in Corinth had a zeal to help the needy brethren, were taking up from a year back and were donating towards a collection being made for for some needy saints in Jerusalem and Judea. But their zeal for that had what effect on not just within one congregation? Here's another example, but in a positive way, how it spread among brethren, not just in one region, but many. It affected and influenced these ones in Achaia, influenced brethren in Macedonia, another region altogether. It provoked many to also do the same thing. And then, of course, he uses in 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 7, he uses the example of the Macedonians who had in part been provoked by the brethren of Achaia, turning that back around the ones of Achaia, saying, now, make sure you follow through on what you've done. And he's encouraging them with the example of the ones that they themselves had already encouraged and provoked to love and to good works. Now, wouldn't that be excellent if we could do that, not just as one congregation, but have that kind of influence among brethren far and wide, where we were following the teachings of Christ, implementing those, serving and loving one another, to where that influenced them. We were provoking each other back and forth to do more and more of those good works. Well, that's the way the Lord has designed for it to be. We can help and provoke each other to love and to good works. Last point, in closing, won't look at it as spend a lot of time on it, but we also need to think about is, as we go out in among those in the world, rather than letting the teachings and the behaviors of this world influence and leaven us, our job is to leaven the world, to be the light of it and the salt of it. In Luke 17, 20 and 21, the Lord said when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here, lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. So this is what's to be in our hearts. When we apply that and show that, have that kind of good influence in the world, what can happen from that? Well, in the parable that he uses in Mark 13:33, or Matthew 13:33, says, another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Taught the same parable in Luke 13:18-21. Then he said, unto what is the kingdom of God like, and whereunto shall it I resemble it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew and waxed a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it. And again he said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leaven. So when he's applying that, like the grain of mustard seed and the great tree that it produces, the spreading of Christ's gospel and his ways in this world, can it have an influence and bring many to the Lord? He can, and that's what he's desiring to do. And he uses that in that parable also as leaven. So we want not the leaven of this world to be leavening us, but we need to let the leaven of the kingdom of God be leavening this world, as we are the light of it, the salt of it. We're to be the ones to provide the leaven for it. Where else is there going to be good leaven in this world if it's not from us? I mean, we're the only ones. We are the followers of Christ, and so we have that great responsibility there, and we can see the great the goodness that the Lord can accomplish through us if we will follow Him. This is an opportunity for you now at this time, if you need to become a part of that eternal kingdom of God, if you've not yet done so, if you're ready to turn away from all that evil leaven of this world and all of its wickedness and listen to and only follow those wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the doctrine which is according to godliness, and follow that and be leavened by that to be filled with all of His goodness and to be conformed to His image. And we're encouraging you this morning to come forward and to begin to run that race by repenting and being baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. If you are a member of the Lord's body, if you have leaven that you need to purge out, if you've in some way fallen away from the Lord and need to make things right with Him this morning, this is an opportunity for you also. So anyone that needs to come now, please do so while we stand together and sing.